Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
195, approve application for the multiple unit limited tax exemption program under the inclusionary housing program for 26 and Ankeny Apartments located at 2580 Southeast Ankeny Street.
Colleagues, this apartment building, 26 and Ankeny Apartments, will have 15 of the 96 units affordable to households earning up to 80% of area median income for 99 years as part of the inclusionary housing program. This is the third project for which the developer Urban Development Group has chosen to voluntarily opt in to the inclusionary housing program in order to benefit from both the parking exemption and other incentives that are available under the program. The Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption, or MULTI program, is one of the financial incentives provided to inclusionary housing projects choosing to make units affordable rather than paying a fee in lieu. Each multi-unit application comes before the City Council for approval, and that's why it's here. In addition to the 10-year tax exemption provided by the MULTI, this project will also receive an exemption of the affordable housing construction excise tax that otherwise would have been due on the affordable units. This project will join 17 other projects that have already been included under the inclusionary housing program. I want to state that again. This project will join the other 17 projects that have already been approved under the inclusionary housing program, making a total of 92 units affordable in otherwise market-driven developments. And I'd like to welcome our Director of Housing. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Shannon Callahan from the Housing Bureau. As the mayor said, we're pleased to be here with the 17th project under the new inclusionary housing program adopted finalized less than 1 year ago. This is now bringing 92 units of affordable housing under the program and developments that encompass more than 1,000 total units. Doria Van Bockel, the Portland Housing Bureau's Development Incentives Manager, is here with me this morning to answer any questions you may have.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know Commissioner Fish has a couple of questions.
Yes, thank you very much, and I'm going to support this this item. But I have a couple of questions, some of which are just to make sure the record is complete, and then I actually have some honest questions that I don't know the answer to. So under the rules, it appears that we're requiring that 5% of the units be fully accessible for a disabled tenant. Which in this case means one of the units. Is that threshold big enough, high enough, or should we think about increasing it?
I mean, there's always opportunity to explore that further. It is, to clarify, too, adaptability to be fully accessible,
right,
in the need of a tenant. It is not a lot greater than the overall standards by the city code itself, so that, you know, that is something programmatically that could be explored.
So, Mayor, I just want to place put a card down. Just as we've normalized the requirement that there be a green roof, I think it's time that we take a look at our code and figure out what are some of these adaptability and accessibility requirements, and we should bake them into our code and not link them to incentives plans. We are, after all, a graying population, and I think we should be building more accessible units as of right.
Thanks,
Maybe just in a coordinary course.
Good point.
The this particular tax abatement is calculated on the basis of just the units that are affordable. But Shannon, I was struck by that it also extends to the common areas and the parking. Why?
That is a function of the underlying tax exemption program. So it is within the ability of a city council to change, but that is how the tax exemption program is operated for.
And can I clarify, too, that would just be for the percentage of the affordable units?
So can I just observe that while I am a big believer in having those common spaces, my Bug Clark Commons has an art room, projects that Dan has developed, his housing commissioner had communal spaces, so we support that. I do think that the calculation of the 15% there is probably open to some creative math. So I would ask you to be particularly zealous in making sure that their calculation of 15% actually has a real-world flavor.
The county assessor looks at that when they actually do the appraisal of the property.
And I doubt the county
based on the square footage of the area.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that I doubt the city, the county assessor does a site visit. But again, I think we ought to be careful that the incentive is tailored narrowly,
and
that someone isn't defining the common spaces in some very extravagant way. What happens after 10 years? You know, we're going to this afternoon put in place permanent relocation protections. So we have someone who's in an affordable unit for 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, the regulatory agreement expires. What happens to the tenant?
The regulatory agreement does not expire. The tax exemption
The tax exemption
is for a period of 10 years, but the requirement for affordability is for a period of 99.
For 99. So,
yes.
So that person, so that's an important distinction so that it continues. So someone who is fortunate enough to get into one of these apartments can expect to be there as long as they can afford the rent.
Yes.
And here's my final question. There was a flood of applications and entitled projects to beat the deadline for IZ.
Yes.
And so we have, as a council, been talking about how to create incentives to bring some of those developers back into the fold.
Yes.
And that's an example here, right, where they otherwise could develop without IZ, but we're offering them an incentive?
This particular developer had a vested permit prior to inclusionary zoning, but based on the package of incentives that were offered, chose to opt in.
Okay.
And this developer, I think, will tell you, as the mayor has said, that the waiver of parking requirements when paired with inclusionary zoning is key for this developer to make these pencil. And so they've literally chosen this. The mayor will actually be bringing back and incenting the pipeline program that we plan to have at this council on March, I believe it's 14th.
Okay. So Shannon, the one piece of this that gives me pause is I'm all for creating incentives for people that opted out by virtue of that rush to file ahead of it. And I think we've calculated, somewhere between 15 and 20,000 units?
Yes.
So there was a conscious effort in the development community to avoid IZ because we set a prospective date and everybody who could tried to get their applications in. Can you assure me that in creating the incentives, we are not in effect giving a better deal to actors who chose to opt out than people who agreed to play by the rules and follow in the ordinary course? Because one thing, I want to create an incentive, but I don't want to have a perverse situation where we're rewarding people who actually intentionally tried to avoid having IZ and now are getting a better deal.
You know, Commissioner, I think a lot of the projects that are in the pipeline will never actually come to fruition. I think the reality is that people rushed in and may not actually have had the ability to complete those projects.
Right.
You know, the projects that we would be looking to incent are projects that would be moving forward. And I think that this is not an uncommon feature for developers to come in advance of any particular change that they think impacts their bottom line. You know, when we've seen SDC increases, whether they be in parks or transportation, we've not quite seen the flood of applications, but it's very, very common that folks will take advantage of the
sure.
opportunity to apply.
Right.
I don't think the package we'll be bringing back in March will be incenting that behavior.
So if you could just, and not necessarily today, but if you could follow up with me, the question I'd be interested in knowing is developer A, who is playing by the rules of IZ and is currently developing and is agreeing with our rules, versus developer B, who peremptorily filed something to beat the deadline on IZ but is now taking advantage of some additional sweetener and is in a better position because of their behavior. And I would have, from an equity point of view, I would have a concern that if we were giving better benefits to developer B than developer A who's playing by the rules.
Yes, I'll follow up with you on that, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz.
Well, just to follow up on that, too, not for you, but for Commissioner Fish, we can only provide incentives on parking if we're requiring parking in the first place. So I would submit to my colleagues that that's something to just think about as we move forward.
So projects in the pipeline, the projects we're talking about that sort of beat the deadline,
mm-hmm.
Were they issued building permits? Is that what the final... action was? But
no, it could have been any number of different steps in terms of land use action to be able to get in ahead, and it will vary, but it's actually a feature of state law and our existing code. It was not much we could have done it. A land use action would have been a determining factor as well.
Isn't there some deadline under which a land use action or a building permit actually expires if it's not executed within a certain amount of time?
I believe it's 3 years, though I think there is, quite frankly, some legal wiggle room with that. So, I mean, they will, you know, certain projects, as always will happen, whether pre-IZ or not, will naturally not proceed for a variety of different reasons.
Okay. But as you heard in the hearing last week, it's the rules in effect on the day you submit your application. So regardless of whether they're going through the land use process or the building application, it's if they've got their application, in which they all did, and even if it's on the back of a napkin and in no way complete or no way doable. Right. So that's, as Director Callahan said, it's a function of state law that we don't have any control over.
Yeah, just kind of underscores to me. I mean, I've obviously shared the concern. We have so many projects that beat the deadline. But I've always sort of, in the back of my mind, been perfectly content to wait and watch, you know, wait till those deadlines on our permits expire and those projects are no longer valid, because 15, 20,000 units in the pipeline is not going to happen. So many of these projects will not happen. The ones that will happen will have to happen under our new rules, the inclusionary housing rules.
So, Director, I have one
so
other
So I look
question.
Forward to the incentives, but I'm somewhat content also to play this game out, too, and send the message to the development community, these rules aren't going away. These are bedrocks now of our housing development in the city of Portland.
Yeah, well said. Director, I have one other question, but I couldn't read my handwriting, which is...
I'd be happy to follow up with you later, Commissioner.
I think I should have gone into the medical profession, not politics. But so according to the cheat sheet I have, the value of the 10-year exemption here is $150,000?
Per unit.
Or no, in total.
Total, I'm sorry.
In total.
Yes.
And that will be applied against the $3 million cap?
It's actually just the first year that's applied towards the $3 million cap.
So what's the distinction?
So just the first year of foregone revenue, so the $16,247 will go towards the $3 million cap.
I see. And if for 2018, how much cap do we have left? Are we
a lot.
A lot. So
yes.
We have not been bumping up against the cap?
No.
No, and Commissioner, if you remember, we also negotiated with the county a rolling cap over a period of time to meet the development cycle, so making sure that no jurisdiction, we had a $3 million cap, but we're calculating that over a five-year period so that we can meet development cycles if we need to.
Again, let me just go back. Please be rigorous in defining common spaces.
Thank you.
I'm not a former IRS agent, but I'm told that sometimes people get very creative in defining home offices. There might be some creative math in terms of common spaces, and let's make sure they're truly common spaces, accessible to everybody, and not a way just to pump up the benefit of the exemption.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Any further questions? Is there public testimony on this item, Carla?
No one signed up.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Thank you both for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Good project, and thank you for your very clear explanations. Aye.
Saltzman?
Thank you, and thanks to the Urban Development Group for their continued interest in our inclusionary housing program. Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Wheeler?
I'd like to second that. Thank you to the Urban Development Group. They're very clearly helping to lead and demonstrating that IZ can work very effectively in this community, and I want to thank my colleagues who have worked on this for a number of years. There are a few bureaus that have actually been stewarded by three sitting members of the City Council, and I want to applaud my colleagues who've worked on this previously, and I want to thank both of you, Shannon Dory, and your whole team for their hard work on this. Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item.